King's kids will be in their regular place. Thank you for the encouragement, Lord. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pouring. She's right. See, right here it doesn't look like it's raining. I told him. I said, no volleyball tonight. Yes, sir. Yeah. I wanted to say that so many times. Turn to the book of Hezekiah, and that's it's not there. Yeah, me neither. It's right beside the book of opinions, I guess. Hey, with all what a lot of people say, you'd think it exists. But so tonight we'll kind of to start out. I mean, we're going to cover a couple places, but to start out, we'll go to 2 Chronicles 32. But while you're turning, you can, I mean, 2 Kings isn't that far away. Those are two passages that are kind of dealing with where we're at tonight. And I was telling some of the men before we got started, this I have loved to prepare this and study this and read this scripture. This thought has real, I've just loved it. And I hope that I can get it out of my heart. I hope it can come out of my mouth like it's in my heart. Because this is such an encouragement. I believe this can help any of us if we'll let it. But I'm just going to read one verse to start out. As tonight, as we look, last week we kind of ended, I guess, the focus on worship, the worship reform of about said Solomon, of Hezekiah. And this week, we kind of pick up from there, literally right in the next verses, as we look at the wars that he wins, we'll see later on, because of the miracles that God works in his life. And the scripture we have before us tonight speaks to that, and there are so many practical applications in tonight's message. But I'll begin by reading 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse number 1, just to kind of set the stage, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get right into the message. So the Bible says, after these things, and we'll talk more about what that is in a moment, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And tonight I want us to think about preparing for trouble. Preparing for trouble. Brother Steve, would you open in prayer, please?
Father God, we ask you to meet with us now as we preach your word, pray God, that every word you read, may we know that it's not just words on a page, but words coming from Almighty God. Lord, I pray God that we worship you as you speak with us tonight. May we have open hearts to receive your message. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. So as we dive right into these two passages tonight, the first thing I want to point out, as we kind of saw in the first verse there, is the trouble that comes Hezekiah's way in the scripture before us. And a few things I want to point out from this trouble. The first thing is, and this is very important, we see the timing of this trouble. The timing of this trouble. Now, we see here, it says in verse number 1 of chapter 32, after these things. What is these things? And I put 2 Kings 18, 13 through 16. That is not, should not be there. But after these things. What are these things? Well, good question. Well, last week ended with chapter 31, verses 20 and 21. And we remember, as we went through those verses of Scripture, looking at, remember, the main goal of Hezekiah during that time was religious reform. Remember, his dad was a very wicked king. Israel at that time, when he became king, was a very wicked nation. And remember, his first act, the first thing that he wanted to do, was bring Israel back to God. And we remember at the end of chapter 31, he kind of gives a recap of that in verses 20 and 21. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God, in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God. He did it with all his heart and prospered. Remember, so he got the priests to purify themselves. Then they purified the temple. Then they reinstituted worship. Then they reinstituted the feasts. God was working in the midst of Israel. They were having a revival of sorts. And just to understand this, this may not have been like immediately proceeding in a chronological sense. It's not like they got done and the war started. But what helps us understand that, verse number one, it says, after these things and the establishment thereof. That word establishment thereof literally means the faithfulness. See, remember we talked about last week or the week before or both that when true revival happens, it's not a man, we had a good service, it fizzled out and you move on. When true revival happens, it lasts. And see, that's what happened here. After these things, so after the revival, after the spiritual renewal, after Israel's brought back to God, and after they had been faithful to do what God had told them to do, under Hezekiah's leadership, now is when the trouble comes before us. And I think that's very important for us to understand. Because the world today thinks if you live for God, and you are doing all you can for God and loving God, being faithful to His house, being faithful to give as of your time, of your finances, and just doing everything that He tells us to in His Word, the world thinks today that if we do those things, we won't have a problem in the world. But Scripture, time and time and time again, shows us contrary to that. Israel is in a major religious reform. There is a wonderful revival going on, and we talked about that last week as we looked at marks of revival, the fact that it continued, and it says there, the establishment thereof. So Israel, God's moving, God's working, and then it says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah. And that's how it's going to be for us spiritually. And the perfect example, remember Jesus Christ, our Lord, was baptized. Remember that wonderful scene, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right there, seen all at once. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. A major act, a wonderful experience. Then what happened immediately? The Bible says he was led up into the wilderness. Now Jesus was led there, but I believe that was a picture, an example of how it's going to be for us as Christians. It's not going to get easier as we get closer to God. It's going to get harder. The closer we get to God, the more we serve God, the more we're drawing nearer to Him and loving Him, and He is blessing us. The devil is not going to be far behind. That's the way it's always going to be. That's the way. And churches where the devil isn't fighting, the question is God working? But we can all see in our life, the devil's right on the tails of what we got going on here, and that's why it's very important. And we're going to talk about it later, that we prepare ourselves for the trouble that is coming. It's not that it may come. See, Hezekiah, we're going to talk about here in a little while, he could literally see it. We can't see it, but we need to know that it's coming. I've heard preachers my whole life, and I've said it, and you've probably heard me say it a million times, but here's a million and one. The Christian life is you're either going into a storm, you're in one, or you're coming out of one. That's just part of it. If that's not the case, then you're right where the devil wants you. You must not be serving, loving, and honoring God with your life. Because if you're serving the Lord, the devil will not be far behind. So we see the trouble, we see the timing of it right on the backs of a major revival in Israel. And that's exactly how it's going to be for us. But not only do we see the timing of it, we see the types of it. We see one of these in verse number one, and the other one I will reference because we'll deal with it later on. But the first one we see is sickness. Now, this isn't in the text, but it is in this same time frame. We see in 2 Kings 18, it says, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, is how that scripture starts. Verse number 2 Kings 18:13, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah. Now, we all know, if you know Hezekiah at all, remember he got sick. He gets real sick. And remember, after he gets sick, or as he gets sick, what's his first reaction immediately? To turn to God. He turns to God. How many years does God give him? Okay. How many years did Hezekiah reign? This is a pop quiz. If you know this, mad props to you. How many? Close, 29. So, this is in 2 Kings 18, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign. He got 15 more, he reigned 29 years. Simple math, and I'm not very good at math, but my math gets me. Around this time, he gets sick. So, not only does he have a battle coming, but he's got a deathly sickness coming his way at this same time. And isn't that how things go so many times? When it rains, it pours. I mean, that's a cliche that gets said so much, but it's so true. There have been people in this church that I know of recently that the bottom has just dropped out all at once. And it's because God's working. God's working in a major way. But the bottom dropped right out of it. See, so he had that sickness, which we won't deal with tonight. But it's worth saying that at this time, when we get to talking about the battle here, we see the sickness as well. So he's not just dealing with a major battle, that the fact that Israel, without the Lord's help, Jerusalem, without the Lord's help, will be taken, they will be captive, or it will be destroyed, or both. But he has a major sickness looming, and it may even be happening as we're reading here. So we see the sickness, but we see Sennacherib as well. After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. So we see the trouble here, and we'll dig more into that trouble in just a moment. The trouble, the timing of it, right on the backs of revival. The types, sickness, and Sennacherib. He was the leader of the Assyria at the time. So we see the trouble. Now, sadly, we see, secondly, the transgression. Now go with me to 2 Kings 18 now, please. And this scripture is sad, but honestly, me, it encourages me. I have made the statement multiple times here and elsewhere as well, that Hezekiah's natural response was to turn to God. And I have said the words every time. But the Bible, through study, has shown me that's not the case. There was one instance that we're about to read where Hezekiah did not turn to God. But maybe it was in this time of transgression where he failed that God used that to train him from then on to turn to him. So as we look at this, so we saw the trouble, now we see the transgression. Look what it says in 2 Kings 18, verses 13 through 16. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Some important things to point out here. It says, came up against all the fenced cities of Judah. The fenced cities. The fenced cities were the fortified cities. The fenced cities were the best militarily around. And this Sennacherib had taken them, had defeated them. And it is believed through his history, it is believed that at this point he had conquered 46 cities within Judah at the time, working his way to Jerusalem, which was the pinnacle, which was the capital city, which if he took, it would be a complete victory. But so he took the fenced cities. And then it says, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me, that thou puttest on me will I bear. So if we're not careful, we'll look in this and say, Hezekiah tucked tail and run with no opposition at all. No, Hezekiah was looking at a massive army that had basically already dominated most of Judah. They were a very powerful army heading right for him. I would be scared too. Hezekiah was not a deity or a god or an angel. He is just a man. And this man, and that's why I said this scripture encourages me. He made a mistake. Just like you and me. Remember, this trouble is on the backs of revival. God moving. In the times of my life where the devil has broken my heart the most is right after a great thing happening spiritually in my life. And then this comes to Hezekiah on the backs of this. And you say, how dare you, Hezekiah? God's moving. God's working. A huge trial is looking him right in the face. And he may very well be sick right now. And he's about to be defeated. And we see this just mortal man makes a mistake. Look what it says. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. Remember, we talked about his dad gladly gave tribute to Assyria. But remember, we talked about a while back, Hezekiah, when he became king, immediately stopped. He wasn't giving them money anymore. But at this time, he basically says, I have sinned. I will give what you demand of me. And I don't want to overlook this. This is a blatant slap in the face of God. Because God had delivered them, but this terrible situation is staring him in the face, and this man, in a knee-jerk reaction, says, I'll give it to you. And look as we go on. It says in verse number, we'll read verse number 14 again. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold, a massive amount. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. So Hezekiah, who had just led a massive religious reform, in a moment of fear, and so I want to point that out, that we see that in this transgression, he was first fearful. And I ain't going to lie, I would have been too. He had dealt with war before. I haven't. It looks like he's about to be overcome in this flesh if God doesn't step in. So he was afraid. But in his fear, he lost his focus. Remember, his focus was God, the house of God, worshiping God, reinstituting, getting Israel back to God. But now, in a moment of fear, he completely makes an about-face. Gives what he had stopped giving, literally took from God to give it to him. And that's a terrible sin. But if we look at our lives, are we any better than Hezekiah? When I looked at him, I wasn't in that same situation, but I've been in situations kind of similar, and I failed as well. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can all say that. But Hezekiah here, because of this great thing that's about to happen, was afraid and lost his focus. But I thank God the story doesn't end there. But that's one thing I love about the Bible. Like I've heard Pastor Stephen Spencer say, Bible gives you everything, warts and all. And if the Bible only had the good things, we'd think, well, I can't meet the standard of their living. But we see here a godly man, probably a godlier man than we'll ever be, made a terrible mistake. But I want us to understand as we move forward, if we're not careful, we will miss this in the Bible as we read it. And what I mean by that is this mistake did not define Hezekiah's life. We know Hezekiah as a very godly man, but a very godly man made a big mistake. But we see now, as we move back to 2 Chronicles 32, so we see the transgression. In a moment of fear, he lost his focus. He gave the king what he asked. He literally took from God to give it to him. But then now, you read, if you're not careful, you read 2 Chronicles, you would think, number one, it's two different stories. Or number two, he's bipolar. Okay? Because read this with me. This is the same account, the same story. After these things, in the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And this is the same Hezekiah. And when Hezekiah saw Sennacherib was come and he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there were gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with them." With him is an arm of flesh. With us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Are we reading two different stories here? It sounds like it. 2 Kings, this dude tucked tail and run. So my question is, what's the difference? What has happened between what we just read before that in 2 Kings and now? Good question. I'm glad you asked. We see, thirdly, the transition, the change. And I believe verse number 5, look at verse number 5 with me, is the key, the beginning of that verse. Also, he strengthened himself. Now, he just committed a great sin. When we've got sin in our lives, we can't strengthen ourselves in the Lord. If we've got undealt with sin, the Lord's not going to give us strength and peace and confidence. So how did he strengthen himself? I believe that Hezekiah repented. Hezekiah did a terrible thing, just as we have. But I praise God. The Bible says from front to back, the principles there, says in the New Testament, if we will confess our sins, if we will repent of our sins. I believe just as fast as Hezekiah did this, I mean, according to what the Bible says here, not long after, I believe he hit his knees and cried out to God begging for forgiveness. That's as it should be for every believer. When sin comes in, we need to deal with it because we don't know when the next battle is on the horizon. And I praise God. The Bible tells me that if we will repent, God will be faithful and God will forgive. This man committed a terrible, terrible sin. Awful. Slapped God across the face. But he repented and God did what he said he would do and forgave him. And I praise God he'll do the exact same thing for you and me. Because we as his children, at least me, I let him down all the time. More than I would like to admit. But in times when I fall on my knees, confess my sin before him, agree with God about it, ask him to forgive me of that, not for salvation, but for restoration of fellowship and of joy, the Bible promises me that he will forgive, he will cleanse, he will restore. And I believe that's what happened here in Hezekiah. Because something had to happen. Sorry, there's a bug there. I'm not trying to wave. I'm not trying to say amen or anything right there. Something, I hope you saw it, because there's something going on there. But something had to have happened for him to strengthen himself. I believe that it was that he repented. And because he repented, he was restored. And see, that's how we will be. We think when we sin that if we confess it to God that he will judge us. Now, a lot of sins, there are consequences of those. But the Bible promises that if we will repent of them, he will forgive us and cleanse us, cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Hezekiah moved past this, and we know him as a godly man. Godly man that made a big mistake, but a godly man that cried out to God, I believe. And God did what he says he will always do. He forgave him. So he repented and he was restored. And it is so important that we stay close to God. It's so important that when sin rears its nasty head up in our life, that we deal with it immediately. Because he could see the battle. We can't. The devil's waiting until we get that sin in our heart. And he wants us to harbor it like David did for over a year. And that's when he'll attack. Because our guard's down, our armor's off. We have no defense. That's why we need to stay close to God. We need to keep our face buried in His Word, speaking to Him in prayer, so that our sensitivity I talked about to sin stays really high, so that when it comes, we get rid of it. Because we may have a battle when we walk out these doors. We got to be ready for it. But I praise God, if we will confess, He's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. So the transition, verse 5, he also strengthened himself. So he repented and he was restored. So now, as we see this part, and that's why it's important you read the whole story, right? That's why it's important we read all the Bible and don't pick and choose Scripture, because if we're not careful, we would read 2 Kings and read that and think, he's a wicked, wicked man. But the Bible has more to say on the matter. And that's just an encouragement to read it all. That's why I encourage read it front to back. Let the Bible speak, and then God will speak in a major way. So now we see the tactics. Chapter 32, verses 1 through 8. First thing I want to point out is the fortification. Verses 1 through 6. And as we get into this, I want to us to understand that they did all they could do. And then we'll see they left the rest up to God. And that's what we need to do. And I believe that's an area that I fail a lot. So many people, I'm just trusting God. Well, have you done what you can do? Well, I'm just trusting God to help me pass that test. Well, have you studied? I'm just trusting God to give me that job. Well, did you put in an application? I'm just trusting God to give me a car. Well, are you working? Do you have a job to get the money to buy it? Or are you just going to sit around, Lord, give me a car? We have got to do all that we can do. And when we get to the end of us, then leave the rest up to Him. And I believe that's why a lot of churches aren't seeing God move. I believe that's why I haven't seen God move a lot in situations in my life, because I've been like that. I guess spiritually lazy. Well, I'm trusting God to do that. Well, if there's something I can do, why should God do His part and when I have got something I've got to do first? Now, that's, some people would freak out at that thought because it sounds like works-based salvation. It's not. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. But spiritually, I believe God wants us to do what we can do, and then He will do His part. And that's exactly what happens here. So verses 1 through 6, the Bible says, and we already read verse number 1, so I won't read that again. I've read that several times. Verse number 2, when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem. So we see here the first step. He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So the first step was they had a lot of water on the outside of the city coming in. Now, they also, as I was studying, they had an underground waterway that even when they cut off this water, they still had access to. But they, in a smart military move here, Hezekiah says, let's cut the access to the water on the outside so that we will have water, but they won't. And we see here that he's thinking very clearly and in a very sharp manner, because he's close to God. I believe it, our thinking is clouded when we've got unconfessed sin in our heart. Spiritually, we're not as we need to be. But because he was right with God, he had repented, he had been restored, he's thinking clearly. He says, let's cut the water off where we've got it. They don't. And we see verse number four, that's what they do. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? That makes sense. Then we see next verse number 5. Also, he strengthened himself. We talked about that, and that's what we need to do. We need to get right, get clean, but then strengthen ourselves in the Lord. That's why it says in the Bible, we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. When we put on the armor of God, it's not saying, I'm going to use my strength to put His armor on. No, we're strong. If we want to fight God's battle, because we're fighting the battle against the enemy we can't see, we've got to be strong in Him. And that's what, it doesn't mean Hezekiah went and did some push-ups, did some curls, drank some protein, Josh. He had to get buff before this. No, spiritually, he got ready. And that's what we need to do every single day. He could see it. We can't. But it's coming just as sure as it was for him. So he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken. This is important. And raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. So we see here, after they cut off the waterways, next step, restore the wall. And that he did it physically, but I think we need to do it spiritually. We need to fortify our hearts. We need to fortify our church. We've got a wonderful thing going on here, and the devil would love nothing more to find a hole in the wall and get in and ruin it. So spiritually, we've got to do our part to stand in the gap and to build the wall and to keep it firm for the sake of God, for the sake of this church, for the sake of the gospel and the work that's going on here. And it's going to take every person doing their part. And as we think about rebuilding the wall, one interesting thing I read, it says, and repaired Milo in the city of David. Did you know that Milo there was the most susceptible, the weakest spot in the wall? He wanted to make sure, above all else, that they got that fortified. Now, one thing I read, and I thought was a brilliant thought, you're not weak where I am, and I'm not weak where you are. But you know where you're weak, and I know where I'm weak. And if we haven't fortified that area in our lives, that's exactly where the devil will attack us first. We have got whatever it is. We've all got something. That's why FTL could apply to anybody and everybody, because we've all got something. And we need to fortify it. We need to get clean, get close to God, fortify that area so that the devil will not, if he does attack us there, we will have victory. That's what he did there. So we repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. So that they said that could be spears or swords. They just had weapons. And what is our weapon? We need to fortify our hearts, but we need to also learn how to fight. How do we fight? How did Jesus fight? Jesus didn't take a knife and literally stab Satan, but he said, "It is written." Remember, our enemy may have a face on this earth. People may be harming us, but our ultimate enemy is the devil. And our ultimate weapon against him is the Bible. See, Jesus didn't handle that like God would handle that. He handled that like we need to. And the Bible is our weapon. The Bible says so. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But I'm not saying you need to get where you're good at wielding your Bible and swinging it and knocking people out with it. I'm saying we need to know it to the point that when a specific situation happens, it has been hidden in our heart. And at that point, I believe the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind. That's what the Bible promises. But he can't bring something to our mind that's not there. That's why we need to hide it in our heart. That's why we need to bury our face in this book and saturate our life and our heart and our mind in the Scriptures so that in the heat of battle, we'll be able to wield it. I believe that God will bring it back, that the Holy Spirit will bring it back to our mind. And just as Jesus said, it is written, we could do the same. So he got his weapons. He fortified the city, the wall. He fortified Milo, the weakest spot. Verse number 6, and he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them. So we see here, we see the fortification. They did all they could. And we can do the same things they did. We can fortify our hearts. We can get where we can wield our weapon. We can get clean. We can fortify the area that we're the weakest. And at that point, that is when we hide behind the shield of faith. We've done all we can do. They did all they could do. At that point, that's when we can hide behind the shield and trust God to do what he will do. I can promise you, he will do his part. So we see the fortification in verse 7 and 8. We see the faith. And man, look at the transformation in Hezekiah. And God can do that for us. I don't believe Hezekiah was a specimen of a man. We just know that's God. Israel's man was Saul. He looked the part, but you see, he kind of fell flat on his face. But God picks, I believe, ordinary people to do extraordinary things, and I believe that is what happens here with Hezekiah. And we see the faith after a terrible mistake, just as Peter in the New Testament denied Jesus 3 times. But God wasn't done with him. I believe Peter repented. And I believe the Lord gave him another chance, and Peter took it and ran with it. And we see the same miracle here in Hezekiah's life. Verse number 7, And this is the same Hezekiah. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed of the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with them. Physically, that was not true. Israel was much smaller than Assyria. But Hezekiah wasn't talking physically. He's kind of tapping into the old Elijah, where he could see there be more with us than be with them. Because I read yesterday, when you are on God's side, no matter how many physically are there, you're in the majority. Now, it took Hezekiah falling flat on his face, I believe, to realize this. Kind of like a Job moment. I mean, we think, why does trouble come? Well, I believe God brought the trouble in Hezekiah's life to grow him, to prepare him for this and for the things coming in the future. I read one thing, and it was a wonderful thought. Trials in the life of a believer are like a weightlifter lifting heavy weights. The heavier the weight, the stronger the muscles get. The harder the trial, the stronger our faith gets. And I believe that's what God was doing here. That's what we see all throughout the Bible. That's what God has done in our lives. And that's what God wants to continue to do. There was fortification, but then there was faith. He says, there be more with us than with them. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord. This L-O-R-D, all caps, Elohim God, the triune God, creator of the universe. He said, the God of the universe is on our side. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You know why? Because he was just speaking God's words. That wasn't an original thought. He just saying, God is here. God fought the battles in the past, he'll fight it today. Notice he didn't say, we'll fight with God. He said, God will fight for us. And that's how we need to be. We need to do all that we can do. And we need to trust God to do his part. And he will. Every time. Without fail. And we see tonight he'll even use a vessel that has sinned terribly. If we'll just repent, turn back to him, ask him to forgive us, he will. And we see, and we're going to learn. This is just the beginning. God is going to do many more great things in the life of Hezekiah. That wretched sinner Hezekiah. God's going to do great things in and through him. God wants to do great things in and through us. May we learn from Hezekiah tonight. And prepare, do all we can do, prepare our hearts, fortify our hearts, learn how to wield the word of God, and then leave the rest up to him. He'll be faithful to do his part. That's how we can prepare for trouble. And in the coming weeks, we're gonna get to worship with Hezekiah and see God give them victory. They should not have beat Assyria. They should not have. Remember, 46 cities of Judah had already been taken. Jerusalem was the goal. And if God had not have stepped in, Sennacherib would have got it. But God stepped in because Hezekiah was trusting God. And if we'll trust God to fight our battles, he will. And he will win. He is undefeated. If we'll just get out of the way and let him work. Let's close our eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your word. Lord, it is good, not necessarily good, but it is encouraging to me to know that I'm not the only one that lets you down. And I thank you, Lord, that if we'll confess and forsake, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, give us such a sensitivity to sin that when we commit one, that we will be immediately broken and immediately turn our eyes toward heaven and ask you to forgive us. And I praise your name, Lord, your word promises that you will forgive, not partially, completely. Lord, I pray that you would do in all of us wonderful things like you did in the life of Hezekiah. Lord, and I pray you'd help us to learn from his mistake. Your word says that the things that were written of old were written for our learning. You put this here so we don't have to make the same mistake he did. Help us to prepare our hearts for trouble so that when it comes, we will not lose focus, but our eyes will remain on you, and we will let you fight, and we will win through you. Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for these people. I pray, Lord, you would give us the grace to take what we've learned and apply it to our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a very quick...